Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
It is time to fire it up again Monday night. I'm sitting next to the Monday Night Delight, Carla Dawson, and Ron Culver's behind the glass. Carla, welcome in.
Welcome in, Ron. Taking care of us once again.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's been a tough week in the world of sports. A lot of controversies. A lot of scandals.
Scandy.
How did this come to pass? Let's start with, well, actually, we've got several. I'll just give a few headlines. The Cuban crisis. This is the second Cuban crisis. Mark Cuban has two on his hands. Maybe the easiest one is the tanking. The other one, of course, the Animal House atmosphere in Dallas.
I mean, if I'm Mark Cuban, I'm thinking it's good if I just get my $600,000 fine and move on. But I'm afraid he's got a lot more coming.
I think this is a long story to unfold. There's going to be a lot more there. Another story that will have a lot more to do is the story in Arizona, the ASM, the payment for players, Sean Miller, all of that. DeAndre, and what the NCAA will have to confront here is going to get really messy.
I just hope for both situations, NBA and college basketball, I hope it's not widespread. I mean, I think we're already seeing in college basketball it's a lot more widespread than we want to believe. But I hope the NBA, it's contained.
Well, that's the interesting distinction, because it might just be that the Mavericks had a uniquely difficult environment. With the NCAA, it is pervasive. It is a problem. Another problem, another scandal. I hate to be on this negative note.
I know, we're starting out, and we might need Dr. Phil by the end of this show.
But even the Olympics are not clean. Gosh. I mean, the Russians have been caught doping
again.
It's the
Russians that aren't clean. See, they shouldn't have been allowed to go to the Games because they're tainting this incredible Olympics.
Well, last week, of course, one of their players caught doping. He's in the sport of curling, which made everyone sort of raise their eyebrows. Why would you ever dope in the sport of curling?
Well, he has a hot wife. That's why that's what I've heard.
Oh, that's what it was.
I haven't seen her, but that's what I've read.
It was performance enhancement.
I think so.
Doping. But then there's also the whole bobsledding controversy. There was another guy caught doping this week as well.
A girl, who was wearing a t-shirt that says, "I don't dope."
That's right. She said, "I do not dope," yet she did dope.
Was it in Russian or English?
It was in English.
Can I just be clear as we go to break? Carla Dawson told me before the show, she is not doped. She is clean.
You're getting me pure. That should make you very nervous.
All right, when we come back, we're going to dive deeply into the Cuban crisis here on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, we are back and we are dealing with all the crises in sports this week. We've dealt with doping in the Olympics. We've got an NCAA scandal. But let's first talk about Mark Cuban's bad week.
Mess with Texas. That's what that is.
Well, there were two fronts here. One was he was quoted that he was encouraging his players to tank. He did a podcast interview with Julius Erving. Julius Erving, of all people, who is always above reproach. He's sort of one of the elder statesmen to think that.
Hall of Famer.
Yes, and everybody loves Dr. J, right? He was scandal-free. And then Cuban in this interview said, yeah, I'm telling my players to tank. And then Cuban's gotten in trouble for the Animal House atmosphere. But let's talk about, frankly, the tanking one. To me, was not so much of a surprise. That didn't seem like a big deal in some sense, because everybody knows that tanking is taking place.
I think it's the optics, honestly, it's what you're hearing. That's what Adam Silver cannot have happen.
Yep.
Any commissioner of any sport cannot have yes, that's exactly, I mean, this is what in baseball, you know, the Marlins are doing, the Detroit Tigers are probably going to do, the Phillies, you know, they're doing it. You just can't say it.
Yep.
It just has to be done that way because it doesn't look good for the league, and it encourages, it's not a good encouragement of competition, obviously. So I think that Adam Silver did exactly what he doesn't want that rhetoric. It is a reality, but let's not put it out there.
It's a reality, and maybe it's said in quiet confines of the locker room, but you just can't say it in an interview that's recorded and therefore published and it's just awful optics for the NBA.
Because all of these sports, the NBA, the NFL, Major League Baseball, all of their revenues, you know, player contracts, everything that the owners get, it is from the fans. And if fans are hearing that, oh, well, our players are mailing it in, who's going to go in those seats?
Right.
Who wants to go see? I didn't like seeing LeBron before the trade deadline with his head in his hands, not trying. I mean, you really don't ever see that from LeBron, but he was so frustrated before they made those blockbuster trades. I was frustrated. I didn't even want to watch it.
So it was almost like he was tanking to force a trade. Obviously a different place, the Cavaliers and the Mavericks.
Right,
Mavericks
sure.
Tanking for lottery opportunity.
Right, exactly. So I think, hey, it's a reality, but it has to be just understood under the radar and not brought out to the public that you cannot be that honest.
Well, in some sense, that's an easier problem for Adam Silver to fix because with one $600,000 fine, yeah. Cuban will write the check and every other owner will learn his lesson, and that will likely be that. Done.
And Mark Cuban, you know, to his credit, I mean, he's very honest and he speaks his mind.
Yep.
But sometimes honesty is not the best policy. This would be one of those times. And I'm sure he's just flat out frustrated for the performance of this team this year and how bad they've been. But, you know, he's going to pay for it, literally.
Okay, the bigger, harder issue.
Oh, man, he's got a big one.
Is what has been termed the animal house atmosphere at the Mavericks team on the business side, not on the player side, but on the business side. There's a whole culture there of being very difficult to women.
A misogynist culture, a predatory culture that's been going on for years. And to be fair to Mark Cuban, it started, you know, with the president, Terdama Usury, before Cuban bought the team. Usury came on in 1998, and a year later, there were complaints by female employees of sexual harassment, and they went straight to the HR director, this Pittman character. And all that was done was that the policy was rewritten. Cuban, 2 years later, you know, buys the team, and this had already happened, and it continued to happen. I mean, it's unbelievable that that guy was able to stay in this organization. He didn't leave till 2015 and even ran for president of the NBA Players Association, lost to a woman, Michelle Roberts, interestingly enough. But he was a finalist.
What goes around comes around. You don't treat the women well and they'll beat you in the election.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. There you go.
What's striking to me, though, is I get the culture of sports and the masculine nature among the athletes and perhaps the problem and the challenge of women working their way into that environment. But this was...
Hello.
Look at you. You've risen to the top.
I'm in between of a guy sandwich right now with you two.
Yeah, but you're at the pinnacle of
yes.
this.
Oh, yes. Isn't that just
your
truth?
Career is on a fast track. You've done it without any doping. There's none of this cheating like it is in the Olympics. You're just...
That's right.
You do not dope. Carla Dawson does not dope. Let's be clear about that. Also doesn't work in an animal house environment.
That is true, too.
At least not most days.
I'm big fans of you guys.
Most days. But... So I get the culture of it all. But interestingly to me is that in the locker room, the players apparently were well-behaved and not participating in any of this sort of language and vernacular and all the suggestive things that can happen. It was the business side. It's the pristine office environment where everything should be far more orderly. And that's where it really unraveled.
Well, and you know, it unraveled in two different ways. Like, you know, women in all this hashtag Me Too are dealing with sexual harassment and with domestic violence. So they've got the sexual harassment covered at the Mavs that, with this Usury before he left in 2015. And then they have this Mavs.com beat writer, former now, Earl Sneed, and he had a history of domestic violence that Cuban knew about when he actually hired Earl Sneed to come. And so he was hired in 2010, 2011. He pleaded guilty to assault in 2012. He stayed employed by the Mavs went on a year or two later to have another abusive, violent relationship with a coworker. She reported it to HR. He still stayed with the Mavs. In fact, 2 weeks ago, he was in L.A. covering the All-Star game for Dallas. And it wasn't until this report got into the media spotlight, this SI report, that Pittman and Snead had to leave, got fired. That says to me this, that the culture that's going on with the Mavericks, whatever Mark Cuban knew or didn't know, and that's going to be the issue. What did Mark Cuban know, and what didn't he know? Because the Mavericks have hired a lawyer to do an independent investigation, but it is being very closely monitored by the NBA, and they have to.
Well, and he's seemingly said all the right things.
Yes, he
said he's embarrassed, he's aghast, he can't believe all this has taken place, and he will do whatever he can to fix it.
He pulled a Rick Pitino. He said he did not know of the incidents. Rick Pitino did not know at Louisville that apparently there was an escort service that was stripping and having sex with the recruits and their guardians. Oh, yeah. In the dorm on campus that's named after his deceased father-in-law from 9/11. But yet that's a whole nother thing. So let's go back to the Mavs. But I think that's a scary excuse, because if you're found out otherwise and you have blatantly said, I did not know, it's a bad deal. It's a bad deal.
Well, Pitino's now paying the price with the penalties coming this way with Louisville.
And he's fired now.
And he's done.
But interestingly enough, again, Pitino was not fired because of the escort sex scandal.
Right.
He was fired because of the FBI wire probe that found out about all the, you know, paying recruits to come. So it's really interesting that these stories have to be brought to light. It has to be in the media spotlight for action to happen. And how much needs to happen at Louisville? I mean, Pitino, you know, is a married Catholic man with a bunch of Catholic kids, and yet he was having sex with a woman in a restaurant, and he managed to keep his job and father a child, and he was just unscathed. This is like his third scandal at Louisville. And the funny thing is, he's fired, yet he's still speaking out in support of the university. You need to fight the NCAA. I'm like, buddy, you need to go away. Go hide. What are you doing still coming out?
Well,
he has
I think
no shame,
he will.
That one.
No.
So I don't know. What do you do if you're Cuban? Do you believe him? Did he really not know of all this?
I could believe that he didn't. Certainly he didn't know all of it.
Right.
And then the question is, how much did you know, and how much could you really just sort of dismiss and conclude was just a bad day or something that was misinterpreted or said at the wrong moment? Clearly what happened there is egregious and cannot stand. So whether he knew it and how much he knew, boy, that will be interesting to hear. We're going to take a break, and we're going to get a chance. You've already dived in a little bit to the NCAA scandal. And when we come back, we're going to get a chance to visit with Eric Musselman. He is the head coach of the Nevada Wolfpack. We can ask him, what's it like to coach in the NCAA in the context of the recruiting
today,
scandal
sure.
today. You bet. With Eric Musselman, you're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
If you need auto parts but can't get to the store just yet, head to O'ReillyAuto.com. You can buy your parts online and pick them up in any of the 5,000 O'Reilly Auto Parts stores nationwide. No shipping costs, easy returns, and convenient pickup on your schedule. Shop your way for the parts you need at O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Well, joining us now on SB Nation Radio is a real treat. He is the head coach of the Nevada Wolfpack. He is Eric Musselman. Eric, coach, welcome to the show.
David, thanks so much for having me on.
Congrats on another great season. You guys back-to-back champs in the Mountain West. Tell us about your year. How has it gone so well?
Well, you know, we first of all tried to schedule as many road games as we possibly could due to the fact that the NCAA selection committee for March Madness had basically said that as they looked at at-large bids, road games were going to have a high value. And so we went out and got overly aggressive scheduling as many road games we possibly could. And then we played teams like Texas Tech on the road, TCU in a neutral site, Davidson in Rhode Island at home. So we tried to schedule as many power games as we could. And we've had really good success. We've had a great road record. We finished up our home schedule with just one loss. And so we're looking forward to finishing these last two regular season games out and then getting into Mountain West play, conference tournament play. And, you know, it's tough to win a regular season back-to-back, and that's what we've done. And we certainly have two very difficult games at UNLV and at San Diego State to finish up the regular season. And then, like I said, we're off to tournament play in Las Vegas, and then we'll see what happens, and hopefully we'll be selected to play in some type of postseason tournament.
Well, Eric, welcome on in. And you mentioned UNLV. So the UNLV under Jerry Tarkanian had the Wolfpack's number and pretty much everybody else in the West for years. Now you've got a great role reversal on your side. What changes have you experienced with this, you know, newfound love for Nevada? And do you have to sell yourself to this community, or is the interest already there with your record?
Well, Carla, we've had great attendance this year. Last year, we broke an all-time attendance record. Then we followed it up this season, breaking last year's all-time attendance record. So the support in Northern Nevada has been absolutely phenomenal. And I know all about the Jerry Tarkanian running Rebel days, because growing up in San Diego, California, I was a big Rebel fan and actually roomed with George Tarkanian, Coach Tarkanian's son, and his other son, Danny Tarkanian, went to law school at the University of San Diego, and I was rooming with George. So obviously what Coach Tark did in Las Vegas for so many years, they were a national, you know, story and a team that had a style and identity that all young kids wanted to play in, because it was a fast style. And we tried to play a cosmetically pleasing, you know, style of play here. We shoot a lot of threes, and we try to play as fast as we possibly can. We have a lot of guys that are multi-dimensional players, a lot of players between the size of 6'4 and 6'8. We're not a deep team, but we have great team chemistry. The guys really enjoy playing with each other, and they do a great job of sharing the basketball. One of the things that we try to do on a daily basis is show our team NBA ball movement, to get our guys to understand that some of the greatest players in the world move the ball, and there's nobody better to watch and to show a college team than the way the Golden State Warriors share the ball. And we watch video clips of them on a daily basis.
We are talking to Coach Eric Musselman, a former coach of the Golden State Warriors, I might add, and now the head coach of the Nevada Wolfpack. So unfortunately, we're talking to you in a week when the NCAA has had some difficult news, all the revelations related to the recruiting scandal. What is it like to recruit and coach in this environment? How has it affected you and your team?
Well, it hasn't really affected us at all. I mean, we've had really good success bringing in two freshmen in year one here. Cameron Oliver, who has since left for the pros and is playing in the G League. Lindsey Drew, both those guys in our year one were both starters. We made a decision to start two freshmen and let them get better as the season progressed. And both of them started as sophomores as well. And Josh Hall was an incoming freshman in year two, and he's had a very good year last year as a freshman and this year. And then we really heavily recruited transfers, and those guys have done a great, great job for us. This year we have four transfers that are having a big impact on our program: Cody and Caleb Martin, both from North Carolina State, Kendall Stevens from Purdue, and Hallis Cook from Iowa State. All those guys have had great years for us. So we tried to sprinkle in our recruiting with freshmen as well as transfers, and it's worked out well for us to have a mix of veterans and young players.
And, Eric, your team is clearly in the Mountain West and really nationwide so talented and the most talented in the Mountain West, but also really the smartest in the league. And word on the street is that you are their hoops professor. So I want to find out, because you did the same with Golden State. I'm glad that you mentioned Golden State earlier, because when you were the head coach at Golden State, you got them to 500 for the first time in almost a decade. And you were the runner-up for NBA Coach of the Year, losing with no shame to Greg Popovich, I might add. But obviously you're taking that to this level at Nevada. What are you doing to foster and develop these young players and the transfer players who are coming in from a different system?
I think the number one thing, Carla, that, you know, that you have to do as a college coaching staff is you've got to develop players. They're young. They're like sponges. You know, to some degree in the NBA, you know, you're dealing with grown men, and you're more dealing with schemes and preparation. And, you know, at the college level, it's all about how you get a player every year a little bit better than when you received them. And the great thing about our transfers is when those guys sit out, we get a whole year to implement our player development program. And each guy has a different program on where we want them to go. And we talk about strengths and weaknesses.
Well, we may have lost him there. Is that Coach? Are you still with us?
I think I upset him.
Yeah, if you said he was the hoops professor, but he is a guy who is renowned for development. He is a real instructor on the court.
And he actually left that legacy with Golden State. Because if you remember last year, all the talk of super teams, when Kevin Durant came over to Golden State, Adam Silver said, stop talking about super teams. Do what Golden State did. Develop your players within.
Okay, he's back on with us.
Great.
Coach, welcome back. We're talking to Eric Musselman. He's the head coach of the Nevada Wolfpack. So welcome back. We're sorry to have lost you there.
No, sorry about that, David. We were talking about the player development and the importance of how you've got to work with your guys, and you've got to get your guys to identify their strengths and weaknesses, and then it's our job, once we've identified a weakness of a player, to try to turn that into a strength from a player development perspective.
We're talking to head coach Eric Musselman of the Nevada Wolfpack. So let's talk about Caleb Martin. How high is his ceiling? How special is he?
Well, Caleb is a guy who can really, really shoot the three ball. You isolate him and get him in mismatches because he can post up, he can shoot the three, and he's very good off the bounce, meaning dribble drive. One of the things that we've really talked to Caleb about is to not just settle for the three-point shot, to try to continually attack the rim, get us an early bonus, and be a high-volume free-throw attempt player. And he's really improved in that area. But, the great thing about not only Caleb Martin but Cody Martin as well, his twin brother, is they're both high-character kids. They have high desire to get better, and they're extremely competitive. They hate to lose. And really, those guys are great leaders. And then you add in the fact that we have a player – Jordan Caroline, who's a junior. All three of these guys are juniors and all league type players. They hate to lose, and they have an unbelievable competitive spirit. And I really think that that competitive spirit is the number one positive that our group has.
Great. And speaking of the Martin twins, Eric, so they both came from another Wolfpack at NC State. Now at Nevada, and you were talking about earlier that it's an advantage, actually, when they had to sit out, that they could sit out the season before they played, that they could learn the system. So do you want the transfer rule changed where, I know the NCAA is talking about it, letting them possibly play immediately upon transfer. How do you feel about that? And then are you a proponent of the one-and-done rule?
Well, I think number one with the transfers, I like the way the rule is now. I think it's good for the player as well as good for the program to have guys sit out, get a year under their belt to adjust to a new university academically, socially, as well as on the basketball court. So I actually like the rules, although, obviously transfers have been a big impact here. I do think that if you just open it up and guys can transfer and they don't have to sit a year, we already have over 800-plus transfers per year at the Division I level.
Gosh.
I think if you change the rules, you're going to have a lot more, and I think that that's going to be too much. I don't think it's good for the college game, and so therefore, I like it the way it is. I hope that they don't change it, because I do think that, if you have a no year off, that guys that are semi-unhappy or don't love their role, you're going to see too much of a change. And I think for the college fan, what they want to do is they want some consistency where they get to know the players. And then with the one-and-done rule, in my opinion, if a player is good enough, like a Kobe Bryant or a Kevin Garnett, those guys don't need to – go to college. And I do think to some degree, if a guy's just going to college and not fulfilling his academic requirements both in the first semester and second semester, and a guy just goes to class one semester and then knows he's going pro, you know, in the middle of his freshman year, he's going to go pro as soon as his eligibility's up. I don't know if that's a great thing, but I do think the one thing that the one and done rule where a player has to go.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Okay, enough with all those controversies. We've done doping in the Olympics. We've done the NCAA controversy. We've got Mark Cuban's Cuban crisis.
We have spanned the globe from doping to sexual assault to domestic violence to wiretap. We've got it all.
Enough
already.
We're going to go to a place where nothing bad ever happens. Let's talk NFL. Can we please?
Hey, the NFL should be loving all this. They're looking good right now. It is the offseason, but whatever. It's good. You take what you can get, right?
Well, with the NFL, we can talk about a couple of things. First of all, there's been a fairly significant trade. The Chiefs trading Marcus Peters to the Rams, and it looks like the Rams are going to give up a fourth-round pick in this year's draft and a second-round pick in next year's draft. So that's a good payback for Marcus Peters, who's, by everybody's metric, a very good cornerback on the field. The issue is his temperament around the field and around the team.
You know, this is a bit Patriots-y in that we don't really know why the Chiefs decided to trade him, because he is an uber-talented guy and no one's saying anything. So there's a couple theories out there that Peters actually requested the trade after the playoff loss to the Titans, which is interesting. And it cited, you know, possibilities, all the swirling around theories that Kansas City is a racist city, didn't want to be there anymore. He's at odds with defensive coordinator, you know, Bob Sutton, which a lot of them are. So that's one, you know, but also people are saying there were a lot of internal issues, which is not foreign to Marcus Peters. Nope. I mean, we see the external issues, the throwing the penalty flag in the stands, the issue in Oakland with, you know, Marshawn Lynch, where they got into it with the officials. So it's really tricky by not saying exactly why they traded him, because it seems like he was a cheap piece that they could have kept. But I think there's a lot more to this story. Not sure that we'll ever know it.
Yeah, he's an affordable talent. He is a very good talent.
Oh, he's amazing.
But to keep him on the straight and narrow and keep him out of trouble, they're going to put him in the hands of Wade Phillips, the old sage defensive coordinator, a guy who I've always thought of from afar as somewhat of a player's coach, a guy who got along with the players, who got the most out of his players, but wasn't a big disciplinarian. So he's going to have his hands full with Marcus Peters.
I think so, too, because actually when you look at Sunday, you know, he's got a few issues on Sundays, Marcus Peters, with the, you know, the penalty flag, kneeling for the anthem, that kind of protest. But I think his real problem is internal Monday through Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Questions about him in the locker room. The other big transaction of the week, Blake Bortles signed on with the Jaguars, a 3-year deal at $18 million per. So the Jaguars, well, in this game of musical chairs that we have this offseason with all the quarterbacks and all the teams trying to find a place and a fit, the Jaguars have resolved their question. They're going to stick with Blake Bortles. He will be their starting quarterback next year.
I don't like it. It's fair. I'm going to say that if I'm just strictly looking at the contract and looking how much is guaranteed, which is about $26.5 million guaranteed, it's not long. It's 3 years. At $54 million, he honestly sits, that average annual salary is, you know, right in the smack dab middle of all quarterbacks in the NFL. You know, from Kirk Cousins projected to probably be a top guy at about $30 million when he probably gets signed, you know, to the bottom of which are the rookies. But it's fair, because to me, he is a passable, serviceable quarterback. So right in the middle, money-wise, it's fair.
But they bought mediocrity in that case.
They bought mediocrity. I agree with that.
The thing is it's not an overpay. I agree with you. But what it does do, if you're going to put $18 million into a quarterback, is it does preclude them from going and getting somebody else. It precludes them from getting a Case Keenum, getting a Kirk Cousins. They're not going to be able to go out and sign a free agent quarterback. Now, they could go draft a young guy and develop him.
Right. which is interesting on a couple levels, because do you want Blake Bortles, the guy developing your quarterback? I mean, I wouldn't want that.
Right, right.
But, you know, the other thing is that right now, to me, I look at Jacksonville, and I think they are the most complete team right now. If I was to put every team on the field, I love Jacksonville with the exception of the quarterback position.
Right.
And I think Blake Bortles, here's what I would say to Jacksonville fans. I'm going to tell you this one quote, and I think it says everything that you need to know. So after the AFC Championship game where Jacksonville was leading and then lost basically in the second half,
they had the Patriots on the ropes.
They had them. They had them. And, you know, to their defense, the Patriots are a second half team and a fourth quarter team. But we did not see the same Blake Bortles we saw in half number one and half number two. And Blake was cleaning out his locker, I don't know when it was, in the couple days after the AFC Championship game. And Tom Coughlin, their GM and brilliant, brilliant football mind, you know, former New York Giants here with Jacksonville this year, he said to Blake, "Hey, good first half the other day."
That's all it was, a good first
half.
There
you go. And I hate to say that what Jacksonville has done by extending him 3 more years, you're going to have a halfway guy.
It's interesting to me when the Jaguars put out the press release, they did something I've not seen done before. They went out and they got quotes from teammates supporting this decision, supporting Bortles. See, the way I would normally see it is if a team like the Texans were to hire or sign Deshaun Watson, they'll let a reporter go and ask DeAndre Hopkins, "What do you think of the Watson signing?" And Hopkins would say something insanely positive. But in this case, it was almost a proactive step by the team. They put it in the release, the players supporting Bortles. It's like they were trying to inoculate the criticism that they knew would come.
They were trying to sell the decision that they made.
Yeah.
It's basically what they were doing. Because I think it's what's tough for me is that Jacksonville is sitting there with this complete piece. In the NFL, you cannot go to the top level, which is the Super Bowl. Jacksonville was one game away from a Super Bowl berth.
Yep.
And it was Bortles' play that did not. And I'm not going to blame it totally on him. But here's the deal. Yes, the play calling changed dramatically in the second half. Why did it change? Because they didn't trust what they needed to be done in Blake's hands.
Right.
That's why it changed. So I'm just kind of scratching my head that they really feel like that's the answer for the next 3 years. I hope I'm proved wrong because I want good things for Jacksonville.
All right, well, you'll hear it from me here. I'm going to predict that the Jaguars are going to draft a developmental quarterback. So they'll have Bortles as the quarterback of the present and potential future if he develops, but they'll have somebody as an insurance policy that they will develop behind him.
Okay, I'll take that.
We'll
Although
see.
It was a $19 million fifth-year option for Bortles. They could have picked him up for 1 more year. But, okay. That's why I'm not in that job and Tom Coughlin is. So.
Well, it is an interesting window here. This is the time when these 2014 rookies now, their contract is ending. If you were drafted in the first round, the team has a chance to exercise a mm-hmm. fifth-year option. Otherwise, your contract's ending and you are now available.
That's a great class, too.
To go back at that Love class, that there class. Was some high talent. The number one guy overall was Jadeveon Clowney, and he's a guy who has performed. He'll get a big payday.
And he should. You know, he had injuries his first 2 years, but boy, has he just, he is peaking at the right time.
Also, looking back at that draft, it was so notable to see what the Raiders did in that draft. I thought mm-hmm. they had one of the best draft classes of 2014. With the number 5 pick overall, they got Khalil Mack. And then in the second round, they came back and got their franchise quarterback in Derek Carr. So that was a home run draft for them just with those 2 picks. And they had some other good guys in there. I mean, Gabe Jackson has performed for them, Justin Ellis. But those 2 guys to be your top 2 picks, Mack and Carr, congrats to your Raiders.
Right, and that's GM Reggie McKenzie. That's a great job by him. So they need to have another good draft this year. There's a lot of pieces that need to happen in Oakland.
But other great guys in that 2014 draft include Anthony Barr, Zach Martin of the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Aaron Donald is probably the best defensive tackle in the league. C.J. Mosley. There are some guys out there. That was a heck of a class. Unfortunately, Ryan Shazier, of course, was a very good pick and was a standout for the Steelers until his injury this year.
But luckily, his fifth-year option is guaranteed, so he is going to be paid this year. And I want that for him.
So other news, we do have the NFL announcing compensatory draft picks. Of course, those are the picks that are awarded to the teams when they lose a free agent. And it is notable, again, your Raiders did very well. They got a number of picks. They will have many, many
11.
Picks this year.
They're going to have 11 picks in this draft.
It's remarkable. I didn't really, when we looked at the players whom they lost and for whom
Eat
they
your
got
heart out, compensatory, Ron.
They just didn't, I didn't think they lost that much. But the Raiders, among the teams who will get 4 compensatory draft picks, Green Bay will get 4, the Cowboys will get 4, the Bengals will get 4 as well. So those 4 teams each get 4 picks, and that's a pretty good haul. Cowboys did an interesting thing, of course. They lost in the offseason Ron Leary, the offensive guard who went to sign with the Broncos. They lost 3 defensive backs, Brandon Carr, Barry Church, Maurice Claiborne, all went to other teams and played pretty well. Mm-hmm. So they got picks for them. Of course, the Cowboys used a lot of last draft to replace those 3 D-backs. So now they've got the D-backs, the young D-backs, in on the team at cheaper value, and they get the compensatory picks for the guys they lost in Claiborne, Carr, and Claiborne. So Church. So that's a pretty good haul for the Cowboys.
And this year, you can trade compensatory picks for the first time, which
Correct.
Should make the draft a little bit interesting, too.
You bet. You bet. Your Texans here, our home market, they get a 3rd-round compensatory pick for A.J. Bouye, who was a standout for the Jaguars.
And a high 3rd-round. I like that.
And it should be. I mean, Bouye was a real loss to the Texans.
Yes, they still haven't recovered from that.
No, that's been a real setback for them.
No doubt about that.
I mean, the other story in the NFL that's just disheartening goes back to Jonathan Martin. And remember, the Jonathan Martin refreshes this. This is a guy who dealt with bullying from Richie Incognito, but Martin
went
through the ringer.
He left the Dolphins, Miami, in mid-season in 2013 because Incognito and Mike Pouncey, a few of them, were bullying him really pretty brutally. And Incognito was suspended 8 games. So there was an NFL investigation. He was found guilty. But Jonathan Martin has not been the same since. He is still really suffering from, and the bullying was brutal. It was, you know, a lot of different types of slurs, threatening to rape his sister. I mean, it was not being black enough, quote, black enough. I mean, it was bad.
Right.
So, and again, so you have to tell what happened with this Instagram post, which they still don't know that he posted it, but it was on his account.
Right. And he had a gun and there was a threat to his old high school. So his high school went on lockdown, closed out. I mean, there was a real concern.
Private prep school in L.A. Yeah.
Martin might go rogue was the notion, and people felt threatened by what he might do in his mental condition.
Mm-hmm. And he didn't. He was taken, you know, he was questioned by the LAPD, taken into custody, but no arrest was made.
Yeah.
But wow, that's a serious deal.
A really tragic story for the NFL, and that's Jonathan Martin, the guy who endured the bullying from Richie Incognito. Well, one last topic on NFL before. Well, next hour, actually, we're going to get a chance to talk draft with Dan Shonka of Our Lads, the draft experts, and it'll be really great to talk to him about the top of the draft, the quarterback position. But it is notable the Browns have come out of the woodwork and said they're not enamored with this quarterback class. This is, right now, shaping up to be a quarterback class with maybe 5, maybe
like
even 6 guys.
One of the best we've seen in years.
Yes, people are comparing it to the 1983 draft class. And the Browns, who never seem to draft a quarterback, at least high, are saying, well, maybe they're not enamored.
I wonder what glasses the Browns are using. They have an interesting lens that they see things through. So, yeah, we'll have to ask him about that. I can't wait to hear.
Browns with the number 1 pick overall, the number 4 pick overall. And most mocks do have them taking a quarterback number 1 and Saquon Barkley number 4. That would be a heck of a 1-2 punch.
Sure.
They also have 3 second-round picks, their own and the Texans. So that would be, again, the number 1 and the number 4 in the second round. And they've got a second-round pick of the Philadelphia Eagles. So they'll have 3 in the second round. Browns are loaded. They can really make a difference this draft.
They can make a difference if they can see a difference. I mean, if you look at, you know, they say they're not enamored with any of the quarterbacks in the draft. They passed on Carson Wentz a few years ago. They passed on Deshaun Watson. So, I mean, how confident are you that there really isn't a lot of talent in this quarterback class when you hear that?
All right. I'm going to tell you that I think.
And they had Johnny Manziel was their last number 1 pick. For
well, they did draft him and they draft Kaiser.
First round. Yeah.
Look, I'm going to make a prediction that they will be drafting a quarterback. That's my bold prediction.
All right.
Outrageous,
all right.
Isn't it?
You heard it here.
I will be right back. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
The
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Okay, see, hour number one coming to a close. We need to make a promise to each other in hour number two that we will not talk controversy.
Okay, let's keep away from that. I'm all for that.
Ron doesn't believe it. He's making a skeptical face. But look, we've covered the landscape here. We've done doping, and Carla has said she's never doped. She's not a doper.
Nope to dope.
And then we've talked about NCAA violations and $100,000 payouts. You're not collecting any $100,000 payout for
not
this
that
gig.
Not that you're going to know about.
But nothing. I mean, you're not here.
Not here. No, it's clean at Gal Media.
And
clean
then
at SB Nation.
At Gal Media, we don't have any problems with an Animal House money, right? atmosphere, do we?
What's that, Ron?
You clean all the money, right?
Right.
Yeah, the money is clean here.
It's laundered.
It's laundered very well. Yes.
And there's no Animal House atmosphere, is there? I pause.
Well, I have
Ron.
I have some stories from last Wednesday night, but I'll leave it to that.
Last Wednesday night,
company party. Who?
There was a little event here at the worldwide headquarters of SB Nation Radio, and I'm glad to say that as far as I can tell, everybody left in good spirits. There was no...
And with the people that they came with.
And with the very
That's
people
very
they came
to note.
With.
Yes.
That was absolutely the way it
I
should be.
I left with my man crush. Came with him, left with him.
Yes, you
it's
did.
A good thing.
We saw you and the man friend. You all looked great. A very handsome couple. Did you not think so, Ron?
Oh, I thought, yeah. I was happy. I finally got to meet him. It was my first time meeting him.
I threatened him. I said, you cannot leave this party until you meet Ron Culver. He's the man, the myth, the legend.
Actually, for a while, I was in a conversation with both of your significant others.
Yeah, that is true.
That's good. All right, when we come back, hour two, we're going to have a controversy-free discussion. We're going to look at the MLB. We'll look at, draft talk. It's going to be a great hour coming up on The Boss and the Gloss, SB Nation Radio.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.